Yeah, absolutely. It is a great day. I hope that it's not my last day on Earth or your last day or anybody else's, because can I just very quickly explain to you what happened to me when I left the station yesterday?
I'm already nervous, but yeah.
And I'm sure you could probably guess where I'm going with this. You know that one of my preoccupations is climate, right? And that stuff is unpredictable, shall we say. Leave the station yesterday, and it's cold and windy.
Very windy.
But sunny. Mm-hmm. Nice, right? Sun was out and, you know, and it wind is blowing pretty good. But anyway, I'm driving home south on 110. And I get to about the Coliseum, and it gets very dark and gray, like within 20 seconds. Like somebody had turned the dimmer down on the sun.
Yeah.
Like, okay, that's odd, but whatever, cloud cover. Keep going home. Get to about Long Beach. Hail, like to the point where I think it's going to break my windshield. It's just hailing. Like, and you know how long it lasted? Maybe 10 seconds.
Have you experienced that before?
Not here.
Yeah.
In Texas, yes. Yeah. When I lived in Houston, yes. I'm talking big pieces, Al, to the point where I'm like, this is kind of dangerous. It feels like big chunks. Drive another 30 seconds. Sunny. It's fine. No wind.
Did you go back in the hail just to kind of experience it?
Finish my drive at home. I live in Orange County. Pull into my driveway. It's a little gray. Looks like it's about to start to rain. Whatever. Mm-hmm. Kind of normal rainy weather. Hail again for about, I don't know, this time it was like a full minute. Okay? I have a video on my phone. I'll show you of the hail accumulating in my backyard. Hand to God, 10 minutes later.
Sunny.
It was like it was July 4th. It was sunny and perfect and not a breeze. Everything's fine. Everything's nothing.
Like a cool ride home.
Nothing to worry about here. Everything's fine.
I'm sure it made the trip a lot better. Okay, can I say this?
We're doomed, right?
I think if I'm correct here, my girl told me yesterday her brother is a teacher out in Santa Ana.
Okay.
And it started snowing in Santa Ana. This is a real story. And they let the kids all just go outside and basically play in the flakes
of
snow that are coming.
Because the children live in Santa Ana and it's snowing. That's right.
You're supposed to have heat days.
It looked like when we
would
drive.
Snow days.
When you would drive through the mountain, like if you're facing the mountains when I was driving around yesterday, it looked like I was in Colorado. It looks like I was in Denver.
It looks beautiful, by the way.
It's ridiculous.
Yes. It's super pretty, but we're doomed. I just wanted to say I've enjoyed working with all of you. You're all very nice people. I hope that if there is an afterlife, I get to spend it with some of you along the way.
Just some hail.
If it were just hail, Taylor, fine. We had like 86 different weather patterns in one. Not here, we don't. Like, I need you to subtract your Iowa from this, where you get weird weather in
Iowa.
Come
at him,
right?
Taylor.
Where you get snow and you get hail and you get tornadoes and you get all the stuff. LA, we're supposed to get fires, mudslides, earthquakes. Like, these are the things we've signed up for. Not this.
So
this is insane.
I find this very interesting because there's the, you know, for those who say
you were
the
basically
Bible,
in the Truman Show yesterday. You know, they just have.
For people who know about the Old Testament, there is a part where there's 10 plagues that are on Egypt. One of them includes hail.
Yes.
There's locusts, darkness. You experience some darkness. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe we should just, you know, frogs, lice,
I did not
flies.
See the four horsemen. They did not, they gotta, did not
keep
show
an eye
up.
Out. Yeah.
You know what I think this means? You and I are going to Mass on Sunday.
No, I'm fine. If this is the end, I'm okay with it. It's fine. It's all good. Anyway, how are you today?
I love how that's in the background.
Yeah, I'm good.
I'm good. You know, you said it was crazy windy yesterday too. So show ended, and I was going to go to the gym for a quick second, and I start leaving, and our lights here, the lights at this stoplight, right in front of the Ritz, the Marriott. It was so windy that the street lights are done. So, but here's the kind of
done,
the weird
like
thing.
Done, like not working?
They're in that the
they're
flash.
Flashing. Okay.
But it's only flashing for those that are going to go in and out of that parking garage.
Okay.
It's not flashing this way. Very confusing moment. Didn't seem very safe. I'm like, guys, I don't know if you guys want to do it that way. Don't have it go this way and then have us go that way and it's all flashing. I did get a chance yesterday to get back to my TV viewing. I'm kind of one of those, you know, you and I have talked about it. We did it again.
How much?
One episode.
Of?
Rami.
Okay.
So you got three TV balls up in the air right now?
Here's what happened. She was tired and she's like, all right, I'm good. So I'm going to go to bed. I'm like, all right, cool. So I'm like, all right, do I go back in for a third episode of...
And would she get mad if you watched it without her?
No, she had already... Okay. She had a third episode of Bear, or am I going to go to Your Honor, which then would require a credit card? Because my quick little free trial is done.
Sure.
So I was like, all right, let me go. And I was interested in the plot of Rami. I thought it was interesting. I like it. If I had to rank them right now, all of them got one episode in, Bear got two. I'd actually go Your Honor. I'd go Rami number two. I have some interest in that one. And Bear, not that it's bad, it's just so chaotic. I feel like I need to.
It's not easy watching.
It's not an easy watch.
And like Rami, I mean, I would assume relates to your life somewhat, and I think that it might be interesting to hear what you say about it once it's done, once you've watched all of it. But it won a ton of awards. It was really well received.
Yeah, in a weird way, it kind of is. It's kind of, to be honest, a little relatable.
Yeah?
Yeah, just because it's like a first-generation Middle Eastern person in the United States of America. So it speaks perfect English. You know,
dealing
it's like all that.
Culture clash, things like that, too. Your parents having to do different jobs than you might want to do eventually. Yeah.
A lot of familiar
episode,
beats for you?
In some sense.
Yeah.
In some sense. Take the Muslim part out, throw Catholic. It's like there's a lot of similarities. And the foundation of it being
now I kind of want to watch
the
it.
Foundation of it being religion,
okay,
right? Like religion kind of meshing into the mix. So it's interesting.
You mentioned that Lady Slee was not watching TV with you last night because she was tired. Did you get a chance to run it by her? Did you get a chance to ask her about next Wednesday?
Ooh,
no. That's funny when you said that. I was like, "What are you talking about?" I will ask her.
I'll make sure.
I'll make sure. I'll make sure to ask her. I will ask her today. Okay. I'll ask her today.
Okay. I will remind you. I know you will. I think it's a really good idea.
No, it is a good idea. I'm kind of trying to
think. She'll say yes.
Actually, I'm not sure if she'll say
yes. Oh, really?
Yeah. Definitely not sure if she'll say yes. She's not a... It wouldn't... Let's just say it wouldn't be her... It definitely wouldn't be her comfort zone.
Okay. So. Is she willing to step out of her comfort zone occasionally?
We'll find out.
Okay.
I guess I told you what I say yesterday. I said my first Ashley to her will be, will you do Ashley? That's my first question to her.
I think never mind. I haven't told that story on the air. I'll tell you at some other point. We were talking about confusing things, the weather, the hail, the sunshine, the wind, all the things going on yesterday. I think that was nothing compared to how confused I am with what's going on with the Lakers.
You're Nostradamus by the time we left the show yesterday.
I told you that was going to happen. That they were going to win that game did not surprise me. That they did win the game did not surprise me. They kind of had to, right? They kind of had to win that game.
Yep.
If they didn't, it was going to be a huge problem. When we left the show yesterday, it was Anthony Davis is not going to play because he aggravated something in his foot, right? That he was dealing with a foot problem. By the time that the game had started, there were all sorts of different theories as to, well, was it a scheduled day off from a few weeks ago?
Mm-hmm.
Is it something that he's, because I read a quote where Darvin said he's 100% healthy, only he's dealing with a foot thing that we need to be caught, because 100% healthy and we need to be cautious with a foot thing, those can't both be
kind
true at the same time.
Kind of contradict each other.
They can't be true. You're either 100% healthy and you should have played, or you've got a foot thing that needs to be monitored. It can't be both of those things.
Can I read you that quote?
Please.
He said, I'm not saying it flared up or anything. He's absolutely playing pain-free.
Okay.
It's just something we're monitoring that we want to be extra careful and cautious about.
That's nonsense. That is absolute nonsense. That is a ridiculous quote that I think if Darvin saw it written on a piece of paper would be like, can I try that again? Can I try a different explanation of what I was trying to get at? Mm-hmm. Because look, there are no good answers to why he didn't play yesterday, but now I'm more confused than ever before. Because if this was a scheduled day off, I think a lot less of Anthony Davis. A lot less. If this is an injury, I kind of feel how I've always felt about Anthony Davis, which is he gets hurt a lot and he misses a lot of games. That's kind of, it is what it is. But if this is, hey, we decided he was going to not play against Oklahoma City 2 weeks ago, right, mm-hmm. when Darvin, I think, had, or Jovan Buha had the tweet about, we expect everybody to play in every game from this point forward. We got all this stuff to go. And then, so that was something that was said about a week and a half, 10 days ago.
February 23rd was when he said it.
Called 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
2 weeks ago, we're playing all hands on deck, but we had this scheduled day off. But now LeBron's out. There's just none of this adds up. None of it adds up. It makes Anthony Davis look bad, makes the Lakers look bad. I know they won the game last night, and that's good because it kind of keeps them in it, but that's almost an ancillary topic to what happened yesterday. What the hell is going on?
So that's why yesterday when I said, I think you took the literal portion of me saying, I'm surprised Anthony Davis is not playing. And you took that as literal. I know what you're saying. What you're saying is, Al, there is not one game out of 82 that they play that you should be surprised if he's not going, if he's not playing. He's playing 50% of the games. It's a coin flip in the last 2 years of whether he's going to be in there or not. But the point that I was trying to make was, yeah, but this is coming out of nowhere. That during the Memphis game, Dave McMenamin came on the pregame show yesterday, and I asked McMenamin kind of a similar thing. I said, Dave, did you have an idea that this was coming? And let me lay it out, because I think there's some information that...
Are you as confused as I am?
Of course I am. Okay. That's why I was so confused. Yesterday, I was confused for some of those reasons. I'll tell you what kind of Dave mentioned to me when we come back. And I don't know if it adds to the confusion or if it doesn't, but...
It's starting to hurt.
Keeps things...
It starts hailing in the studio all again. That would make it better. That's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hail, storm, sunshine, tornado, whatever it is.
Driving home.
Yes.
Water spout.
Those are terrifying, by the way. Water spouts, you ever seen those, Al?
I have not, but.
That's basically a tornado over the ocean.
Yeah.
Where the water just gets sucked up into the sky.
That's cozy.
Oh, you guys, I got on this thing on TikTok talking about these like rogue waves. Have you heard about these?
Emily, please stop. that is rogue wave is one of the most terrifying.
Have you been on my YouTube or what's going on over here?
Where did you? How did you run into my password? Rogue
waves? I don't know. It's like sometimes when TikTok algorithm, like I like weird, like sometimes like oceanic things, and they were just talking about how all these shipwrecks happen. A lot of times people can point back to these rogue waves that scientists thought like were super rare, but they happen like 30 times a day across the United States, across the world.
All the time. Yes. And they sink ships.
Exactly.
So that's cool. You want to get on a cruise, Al? How was your cruise? Well, it was cool until the rogue wave sunk the ship. Yeah.
Could you imagine? No, I can't.
No,
imagine.
I can't. No. This is from Matthew
Pelosi.
Let's not
try to imagine.
In the Travis Lee community. I was told I'd never have to deliver mail in the snow in Southern California. Well, that happened yesterday in Cyprus. Kmar says it freaking snowed yesterday in Menifee. Wild. Now let's go to Johnny in Irvine. Johnny, you're on with Travis Lee. What's up, Johnny?
Same thing. I live in Irvine, and it was kind of reversed. It was snow, then the hail, then the rain. It was beautiful outside. It started snowing, then it hailed, and then the rain. I just wanted to give my 2 cents.
Appreciate it, man. You know what I'm hoping for?
Thanks,
next?
Johnny.
You know those markers when you go up to the mountain that just make sure that... So let's say they're like 6 feet high.
Oh, yeah.
And it's there to let you... We should just start putting those all out everywhere.
Down the 405 in Long Beach.
Yeah, even though we hit less than 1 inch, and it's going to happen once every 15 years, we just need marks. So when people come into town, and we could tell them, well, it snowed back on March 1st.
Okay.
For 17 seconds, so now we have markers everywhere.
See, I know you're making a joke, and it is funny, but what you said is bothering me, and here's why. You said it happens once every 15 years. No, it doesn't. I've lived here my whole life.
45 years?
Like, never.
Yeah.
Century.
It happens maybe once every 500 years.
I love
or so.
How soft we all are. And it's the truth. No,
it's
you're not
soft.
It's no, but just
it's
listen.
It's shocking.
Yes. But I love just we were also overreacting with just that it was cold for a few days. I just love that this is how
that's
we're
different.
Spoiled.
I understand what you're saying and you're not wrong, but it's different. Like a cold snap is a cold snap. Okay. Nothing makes sense.
We've had a 3-month cold snap essentially since the new year.
Nothing makes sense. It snows in LA now and it's 80 in Chicago in February. It's just this is not how this is supposed to go. I'm just saying that get your affairs in order. Sleep.
Fair. Fair.
That's all I'm saying.
Are you promoting some pickleball here?
We can. Would you like to?
Well, the only reason why I'm mentioning it is because
today's
in a few
day.
Hours
yeah.
I'm going to be out there with Burke. By the way, I got to find out here.
Did you find a fourth?
We all have. I don't know if AK is coming or not, but I think Greg's going to be there a little bit early, so we'll do a little one-on-one action. Here's the only thing. I don't know what I need to bring because I just have my paddle. So I could see Greg and Jorge also just coming with their paddles.
Balls.
And nobody brings a ball. So we got to get that part figured out.
Somewhere, right?
Yeah, we got to get that. I'll stop. Where were they? Target? Where
Big
I got to go?
Five, Dicks, Target, Big Five, Target. Yeah, okay. All of those things.
Well, Kinko's? Kinko's have them?
Probably. I think right behind the pads of
Panda Express? What
of
are they? Are they selling the Panda Express? Where do I have to go?
You can get them anywhere you want. Did you find a fourth person? Are you bringing Ballsberg?
I need to talk to AK.
Okay.
But
so, no, three. No, so we got
three. We're at three right now.
Do you have the equipment?
No, so this is where Sliwa comes in.
This is awesome.
Oh,
yeah.
You got to swing by Dick's.
That's fine. I'll do it on my way. I'll do it on my way home.
Just get a couple balls. Just like two, but I think they might have.
You should get more than two.
What's the right number?
No, three or four.
Okay.
Sure. I mean, if you want to get like a
just do they sell them individually?
Balls,
I have no idea.
Is it if I buy three, do I get one free?
They come in a donut box.
Just trying to do the finances right now.
They're coming in a 3x4 row.
So here's the thing, though. We're going to a park that other people are playing at. So if we want to play, we have to play either like it's if the, even if it's just the two of us, we can do that. But we're going to be playing against two other people. Like you put it's a paddle system. You put your paddle in and you move and you keep moving it up until you go onto the court.
Okay.
So
do you know,
despite the fact
I don't know about this.
I didn't know about it, but I understand. It's like winners stay on the court in basketball kind of situation, right? That if you and I are a teammate, we get there, we put our paddle in the queue.
Mm-hmm.
And then if another team shows up before the team we want to play shows up, their paddle goes in the queue.
Exactly. So here's
play
my
those
question.
Guys.
Here's my question. Just so we kind of make it look like we know what's going on. Do we say when we get there, like, hey, we got next? Like, what are the proper terms?
Because
I want to have that down before we go.
Excuse me, sir.
We take
We'd
our
like
paddles.
To play some pickleball.
So the best part about this is that all these guys have their paddles and all that stuff, and ours will say, payback's coming is next.
Yeah.
Corporate Greg is next.
They're going to think you guys are so into it, right? That you've got these custom-made paddles that are really nice.
With our names on,
here's
our
the names on them.
Here's the equivalent.
Oh my God,
here's
these
the
guys
equivalent.
Are awesome.
You go out to a basketball floor or you go to a gym. The equivalent is the person that's got really nice new shoes.
Uh-huh.
And they have, the gear is all there. And then you give them a basketball, and they hit the top of the backboard. That is the equivalent of what they're going to see.
Rain dance.
I think every sport has that because, I play a little golf here and there. I could tell you with about an 80% accuracy, I just need to look at your golf bag, and I know if you're good or not. I don't even need to see you swing a golf club. I just need to look at your bag and see what kind of equipment you have, how worn it is.
How worn. Okay,
how,
good. I'm glad that's the way you're describing it.
Is. Yep. Because if you have really old equipment that's well worn, you're a good golfer. Mm-hmm. Because you found something that works for you.
Yep.
That
but if you're a CEO of a company and just got the brand new Callaways.
If you got something that's got brand new bag, everything looks like it just came off the showroom floor. Not a chance.
So you and I have played golf together, and I'm not a very good golfer. I'm okay. But, like, I have really old clubs because I got them from my dad, who is a good golfer, and they're all completely worn.
Mm-hmm.
Does that change your opinion?
No, because
I have worn clubs.
I could tell by your bag that you are somebody that is okay, that doesn't play very often. If you just said, who does this belong to?
You're like, that's Berg.
That is a hand-me-down from somebody's dad from a long time ago that plays a little bit, but not a ton.
Okay, that's fair. So you got it right on. I like that.
They're every sports.
I'm gonna jog to the court, almost like a half sprint, and we got next. And then they're gonna say, "What are you doing?" And I'm gonna say, "I'm not sure. I'm gonna go ahead and sit now here, and you guys just tell me when it's time."
And you're gonna say, Payback's coming.
Payback's coming.
Old putter.
I mean, I'm excited to go play with you. I think the two of us at least should get out there. At 5 o'clock, I think we should be okay to, like, you know, just paddle around, dink.
The only thing that could hurt us is there's finally sun, and maybe people just want to get the hell out of their home.
Well, yeah, probably.
But it's still going
to
be cold.
Look, I'm already in my stuff. Like, I got my shorts under my jeans. I got the shirt ready to go. I'm ready to get going straight from here to the court. Pickleball madness.
Because it is coming up. March 18th, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., Agape Pickleball Center, Miles Square Park in Fountain Valley. You can reserve your seats at ESPNLA.com. The event, of course, is open to the public. Come on out, hang out with us, press the flesh. Thanks to everybody at Michelob Ultra, Bud Light Seltzer, and Pizza Hut. So make sure that you come on out. And it's not just watching us play pickleball. You can do pickleball demos. There's TVs to watch college basketball. There's a beer garden. There's a kid zone. There's everything that you're going to want to do. And we'll hang out and just, you know, I'll have a beer with people if that's what they want to do.
There you go.
I'm pretty good at that.
We counted it yesterday. He might end up with 28 beers.
Sounds about right. How many of those do you shotgun?
So this is what happened.
Maybe
at the
one
Mandy's,
or two, right?
Okay. So because I have a certain set of skills, people wanted to try me. Okay.
Well, don't do that. Just don't. Just leave them alone.
And so I did it once. I dusted the guy and a lot of other. It's like one of those things. You have to. It's like when you go into jail. That's just what I've heard in the movies.
Because
you've
got to
fight the
so
biggest, baddest guy, right? And then everybody kind of leaves you alone.
That concept sounds great.
But if it would you rather be in one fight and get your butt kicked, or would you rather have to fight every day? One and get your butt kicked, right? I mean,
you'd get stronger if you fight every day.
Well, the problem is, even if you go find the biggest and the baddest guy and you decide to fight him and you get your you-know-what kicked, it's not like everybody else is going to say, well, leave him alone. They're going to say, well, this is easy money.
But, well, no, he's not scared and he will fight back. Yeah. I'm just going to pick my spot. The point being,
Travis is using his toothbrush as a shank.
Toenails.
Yeah.
That's how they do it. They sharpen their toenails. That's a fun place to go.
Oh, wow. Look at
anyway.
That. God. Yeah, I'm lasting 10 years.
I took one person down, but then there was more. Let's do it. I'm like, I can't shotgun a beer every 10 minutes. That's not going to work. I don't want to live on the stretch. Not for very long.
It's not that you can't do it. It's that you won't do it because you don't want to die.
It's just you're not committed.
Maybe not.
That's what
maybe
it is. Maybe not.
So that's how that shook out. But yeah, maybe one.
AK,
we can do like a group thing.
Get the latest on AK here, and let's see what
unlike,
he ends up saying.
Unlike you texting Lady Slee immediately to find out whether or not she's going to do it next week, I'm going to text AK right now.
Do your thing.
That's how you
make
it.
Sure.
Yeah, well, you should get your pixel out and text Lady Slee.
Yeah, like, what, is she busy? She working?
She does work, but.
Yeah, sure, I get it.
She works, but she's, you know.
She looks at her phone.
She's not in a submarine. She'll get the text, right?
We're going to get an answer. I'll get an answer today.
Yeah. She's in the mountains right now.
Let's try another phone call here. Let's go to Skyler in Hawthorne. Skyler, you're on with Travis Slee. What's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I was at my daughter's school waiting to pick her up. It was like 3 p.m., and this mom right next to me, she's like, it's freezing. I'm like, I know. And then it started snowing. It was the weirdest thing ever. I'm telling you.
Hawthorne. That makes sense.
Hawthorne's what? Is the crow flies, Skyler? Hawthorne's what? 6-7 miles from the ocean?
Yeah, it's like, it's right there. You get the breeze. It's like, it's kind of like Mar Vista, but, you know, it's like, you're right there. You know what I mean? It's beautiful.
Everything's fine.
Love that everything's merging. Merge the ocean with the snow. I love it. It's perfect.
Thank you, Skyler. Yeah, look, perfect. I'm just going to, I should have known when I went to Bandon last week. It's like, yeah, this we're getting closer to the end. I've been worried about this for a few years now, but it's escalating.
Taylor, he's nervous. He's nervous
over
there.
I've been nervous.
He's nervous over there.
Calm down, Trav.
No. I could tell in his voice. I could tell in his voice. He's
telling my voice. I'm telling you I'm nervous.
No, I know. But I could also tell you have like some, it's cracking every once in a while. It's starting to get, very nerve-wracking.
Well, I'm just saying when it happens, you're like, what's going on? I'm like, I tried to tell you that this was going to happen. All right, I need you to try to explain to me how he's 100% healthy and playing without pain, but we're going to keep an eye on his foot. But everybody's going to play every day, including back-to-backs, because this is the time of year where every game matters, unless you have a scheduled off day. I'm going to need you to wade through
we'll break
that
it down.
Absolute nonsense that got vomited at me yesterday. It's coming up next. It's Travis Slee, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So while you guys were dealing with the crazy weather all across Southern California, my friend and I went to a concert last night, and it was really fun. I had a great time.
Who'd you see?
Maggie Rogers. She's like she has like pop folk music, kind of a good mix of stuff. She was performing at the Shrine. I hadn't been to the Shrine at USC
old school
before. It was really fun.
Yeah,
really cool. My one bone to pick with the Shrine is there's a lot of stairs. I was in the third mezzanine. Okay, it's on me maybe for buying a cheap ticket, but whatever. It was still like kind of expensive. But third mezzanine, had to trudge myself up a bunch of stairs. That's my only bones to pick maybe. And there's a funny story. So my friend and I kind of got there right a little bit before the opening act got out. So we were there enjoying him. But then we were like, hey, we should get a picture at some point. And it was kind of trying to fill in around us. And so we asked the girl behind us. I was like, hey, because usually, you know, you ask a girl, you're like, hey, because they're probably going to take a good picture. So we asked her, she's like, hey, like, would you mind taking a picture of me and my friend? And she's literally in the row behind us. And she's like, I can, but fair warning, I'm a little drunk. And I was like, sure. You go try. And so she took my friend's phone and I took a picture of us. And it's just probably the worst picture that me and her have ever taken in our entire lives. It was just like, it was like bad angle, like blurry and all that good stuff. So we're like, thanks. Like, this is because always after take the picture, you're like, oh, hey, like, how did it turn out? Like, right. Do you need to take another one? And then we were like, oh, no. It's great. And then we're like, delete it immediately. Like, there's stuff that you do to
wait till she goes
things.
To the bathroom and then ask the person in the row behind her yep. to do it. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And then
do it in front of her. That was so good. Thank you so much. Do you mind taking us a picture?
Right. And then I had like these new pants that I wanted to try on because they're really cute. They're like really funky, like different pants than I would normally wear. But they were definitely, let's just say, standing pants. They weren't sitting pants. So like, I don't know if you guys have this like thing that goes on with you guys.
Wait, I'm going to need you to define the distinction between standing and sitting pants.
So there are sitting pants where you have to be able to sit comfortably in terms of like that it's not going to squeeze you too much. You're not going to be like super uncomfortable wearing these because like, but
man, girls have it so tough.
These are pants that are good for standing because when you stand, it's all like it fits. But yep. When you sit, you're like, ooh. So I had to like at some points, like I had
Taylor,
to.
Taylor, the jeans you're wearing right now, standing or sitting?
Both.
They're both.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Both.
Finish your story, Emily.
So yeah, at points in time. So like we went to dinner beforehand and we went to the show. I had to like unbutton the top button just to sit comfortably because they're high waisted. And then I had to like cover my stomach to be like, yeah, look, this is fine. I don't have my buttons unbuttoned. And then when I stood up, I had to like do it discreetly as well. So, you know, again, this is just a peek behind the curtain of what we go through.
I was going to say, so these pants are like if you're doing anything other than just walking from point A to B and then turning around and walking from point B back to A. These pants stay in the closet from now on?
Or you're just prepared. Like, you're just like, okay, I'm going to be a little uncomfortable and I might need to plan around this. But I think that it's like, it's part of the look and it has to be high-waisted.
I wish I didn't understand what you're saying. I know exactly what you're saying. I know exactly.
I just learned something.
There are some pants that feel fine when you're standing up and then when you sit down or try to do something feel
yeah, there's
less
plenty of, like
fine.
Skinny jeans out there. There's like leather pants out there that people wear that you know they're not made to be sat in for long periods of time.
All right, thank you. Go ahead and try to unpack everything that we found out yesterday. I'm gonna leave it up to you because I've done it. I've said it two times already, and my head hurts. So you kind of walk us through what happened yesterday.
So first off, I don't think there's. Let's just say that. A lot of it was contradicting itself leading up to the game, and then anything that happened pre or post was also confusing. Lakers played against the Memphis Grizzlies Tuesday night. AD actually had a really good night. What do you have? 30 and 20, or I forget how many rebounds, 15, 17, whatever. Three block shots. Lakers lost that game.
Mm-hmm.
And McMenamin came on in the pregame show, and I was curious to get his thoughts. I'm like, Dave, Did you kind of see this coming, that AD was...
I'm sorry, Al. Yep. To kind of go back, just to kind of set up where it got confusing was Anthony Davis, to your point, left the game against Memphis without any noticeable injury.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There was no mention of it post-game that, hey, my foot's bothering me.
Mm-hmm.
Then we've come to work yesterday.
So can I set it up the way? Because I think the McMenamin thing is gonna hit on that. I said, Dave, were you surprised that Anthony Davis isn't playing today? And he said, all right, yes, I am surprised. Because post-game show against the Grizzlies, I talked to him. And it was how his game was doing, how important the next game was going to be against the Oklahoma City Thunder, that it was, there was no indication that Anthony Davis was not going to play. So yesterday when we were doing our show and it came out that he's out, I'm like, well, that's not how it usually works. It doesn't work like that.
It does with him.
I'm going to know prior because, hey, it's a back-to-back. Maybe there's not even any of the reporters asked after the Grizzlies game, hey, AD good for tomorrow? Trust me, the reporters will ask that question. They didn't ask because it didn't seem like it was going to be a topic. Next day comes, we're doing our show, and then that comes out. So I think that...
That he's not going to play, and specifically he's not going to play because of a foot ailment.
Yes. And by the way, typically in situations like that too, it's very common to not tell the other team that he's not going to play until before tip-off, half hour before tip-off. They'll put him as questionable,
right?
They don't want the other team to prepare this. No, Lakers said... Right out the gate, he's not playing. I thought for me, what was confusing or the most confusing was, okay, so somebody's asking me yesterday postgame, is this precautionary, like Darvin Ham is saying, or is it a bigger issue? And I said, well, I guess we'll find out on Friday, because if it's precautionary, then he should be playing on Friday against the Minnesota Timberwolves. If it's not precautionary, then I would, if it's a bigger issue, then
but
I'm assuming that he wouldn't play.
Free. You got to throw that part in there, too, that the head coach of the team has said he's playing 100% pain-free.
Well,
but simultaneously, we're being protective of a foot thing that we need to keep our eye on it. Those two things can't be true at the same time.
Well, I'm okay with if Darvin Ham had said something along the lines, guys, look, there's three back-to-backs left for the entire year. I cannot tell you with certainty that AD is going to play in all three of them. If there was a little bit of a heads up on it, I understand that. The problem is we didn't really have a heads up on it. Remember Braun at the All-Star break. Remember Braun at the All-Star break saying 23 games left. We're going to try to play all of them, all this.
What'd you say, February 23rd, right?
Is when Jovan put out. That's when Darvin Ham had said just
that. Darvin Ham had said, everybody's playing every game
unless
there's an injury. Mm-hmm. We had no, and then. He doesn't play in the second half of a back-to-back. Mm-hmm. They're still outside the line. They're running out of games. Mm-hmm. LeBron James is down. Circumstances have changed dramatically.
Angelo Russell's out, too.
So if anything, you're going to be more likely to play more often. The opposite happens. And then you get conflicting explanations as to what it is. And it just, none of it adds up. None of it adds up. And if Anthony Davis just took a day off, that is inexcusable. It's inexcusable that you cannot, at this point in the season, where they are, with LeBron James out, with D'Angelo Russell out, with them looking up at everybody that's in this position at this point, to just say, hey, listen, man, I need a day off. I don't know. I don't know what to say about that other than it's inexcusable and it makes me think a lot less of him.
Okay. Do you think that's the case?
I don't know because I'm getting conflicting reports. Mm-hmm. I'm getting two different stories from the same people. I don't know. So this is where my confusion lies, Al, is he just – because yesterday we were told this was a scheduled day off prior. Okay, that's bad. You can't take a day off because I had this on the books a long time ago. Yeah, but the circumstances have changed.
No, you can do that. You can do that.
But the circumstances are very different.
But your circumstances – you're talking about the circumstances of where the Lakers are today.
And LeBron James being injured.
Okay, but – I think that's the point that Darvin Ham was trying to make. And I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying. I think if it was communicated prior of, fellas, just so you guys know, let's say after the Memphis game, there's no guarantee AD is going to play in the Oklahoma City Thunder game, then I think this kind of quiets all of that stuff.
Oh, I think it makes it worse, Al. I really do.
I don't think it does. I think if we knew.
No. Here's why. The Lakers are in 11th place. They've got 19 games left.
But we're going to go back to this. And this is exactly Darvin Ham's quote. His quote is, I cannot allow the standings and I cannot allow who's in and who's out to determine what
to determine what the
training staff is saying Anthony Davis should do.
Okay, that's fine if they're saying he's hurt, but they're not saying he's hurt. They're saying he's 100% pain-free. It's all over the map. There is no to your if I'm and I'm not saying you, but if I'm trying to follow what your explanation of what their explanation is, that he's healthy, that this he just needed a day off. You can't take a day off right now. You can't. You just can't. We're outside the line. Mm-hmm.
It's not October.
It's not October.
Yeah, but I think you're simplifying LeBron's it too much.
I'll tell you what's
simplifying it. And I want to make sure that I'm not trying to say it's okay he didn't play yesterday. What I'm trying to say is, if the training staff and the coaching staff said to Anthony Davis, "Hey, AD, go ahead, you can play tomorrow. Go ahead, you're good." I don't see Anthony Davis walking in and saying, "Guys, I'm not going to play tomorrow."
But that's not what anybody's saying. The point is, we're left to try to figure out what it is because there's conflicting information. That bad stuff bubbles up when there's no clarity, when there's a lack of information, when there's a lack of communication.
That part I agree with. That's a lack of communication over the last 48 hours. I agree with that.
If this were LeBron James, or look, I'll even put a different guy in there. Let's say it's Russell Westbrook. If Russell Westbrook just all of a sudden couldn't play, and they said, "Look, you go, okay, Russell Westbrook plays every night."
Yeah,
it's like fine. He needed a day for
you. Wouldn't yeah? You wouldn't
you,
say
you, you wouldn't mm-hmm. you wouldn't go, huh? With Anthony Davis, it's nothing but huh. It's nothing but what? Wait, huh? Today?
And it seems to be kind of a pattern of this like dysfunction. I don't know if that's the right word. Like this disconnect between the players, coaching, and the training staff, and the coaches, and what they're telling the media. Because like when Darvin Ham said, "Oh yeah, I didn't know about LeBron's pop in his foot," I heard a pop. Like, how does Darvin not know that? And continue. It just feels like there's something
it's
growing
all over
on
the map. It and had they said, "Look, he has a foot thing that flared up overnight. That when we got to the gym the next day, he wasn't feeling his best, and we feel like it would be in his best interest to not play tonight."
And we told him, "You're not going."
Great. That's not what they said. It's not. What they said was he's 100% pain-free, but we need to keep an eye on a foot. Just 10 days or 12 days
ago. No, they
didn't
help themselves.
Everybody's playing every night unless they're injured, and then he doesn't play, 10 days later. He's not. It's all over the map.
It's
really disheartening.
What I cannot argue is they are all over the place. I cannot argue that. The only thing that I was trying to kind of put into play here is I don't think it's Anthony Davis, and maybe I'm wrong on this, I don't think it's Anthony Davis after the Memphis Grizzlies game without any indication telling them, "Guys, I need a day off." I don't think it's that. And that's my only point. I don't think Anthony Davis is telling the coaching staff and the training staff, who would be telling him, "Hey, you're good to go for tomorrow," and he's like, "Nah, you guys go ahead without me." I don't think it's that.
Okay, you can feel however you want. My point is, I don't know. You've told me six different stories, and I don't know which one is the most likely. You could be right. He could be 100% free. He could have needed a day off. He could have a foot injury. He could be dealing with a nagging little thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
You've thrown them all at me, and with this particular player, this sort of confusion
doesn't get some of the benefit of the doubt and everything else that comes
just
with it.
Yep. Our greatest fear about that particular player is he's always hurt, and he's always missing time. And then add in the confusing part of this, it's like a double whammy.
Listen, everyone was confused pregame. Everyone was confused postgame. There was nothing that happened.
And post-morning.
And post-morning. No, and I don't think anything happened to clear up some of that stuff. Like I said, there were certain things said by Darvin Ham, whether it was a couple weeks ago or so, where kind of gave you an indication that you're thinking these guys are going to go if they're healthy. And there are two more back-to-backs that the Lakers have. One thing that might get lost in all this, and I know it's the Oklahoma City Thunder, and I know it's Shai Gilgeous wasn't there. I understand that. They did go 2-1 on this road trip, which was obviously incredibly important. And D'Angelo Russell, we already know, is not going tomorrow.
That's official.
That's official. We already know. He told Dave McMenamin yesterday postgame
that
he can't go tomorrow and that he'll check to see if he can go on Sunday.
Imagine, though, if tomorrow they're like, "Oh, it's a scheduled off day." Well, no, he's 100% pain-free, but no, we're keeping an eye on it. It's like, which one is it?
Yeah.
Which one is it? With D'Angelo Russell, you just go, he's hurt, he's missed some time, he's not ready to go yet.
His fourth game in a row that he's missing, yeah.
It tracks. None of the AD stuff really tracks. Hey, did you see? Coming up next, it's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hail and sunshine loving Taylor Smith with, hey, did you see what he got for us?
Little Taylor? Hail never scared anyone. Come on.
Well, speak for yourself.
Did you see that optimists have a lifespan 11 to 15% longer than average, Travis? When was the last time you felt unbounded optimism, Sliwa?
Last time you felt unbounding optimism. Okay, so I kind of go through stages of this. I can't tell you. It was on January 7th and it was this. But I will say this, there are certain days where you could just tell right out the gate. You're like, you wake up, you're negative, you're in a bad mood, and it sets the tone the rest of the time. And then there's days where you say to yourself, ah, screw it. Who cares about it? Just go have a good day. And it really, truly does have an effect on the rest of your day. So I can't give you an exact moment, but what I can tell you is anytime you do have that mindset, I think it bleeds into the rest of your day.
It's people related, right? It's who am I going to deal with for that particular day? And I'll use a really good example. When I know I'm going to spend time with my dad, I know it's going to be a great day. Because he is the single most optimistic person I've ever met in my entire life. He is always up. He sees the best in everything. He expects the best to happen. He's a wonderfully optimistic, pleasant up person to be around. And when you're with him,
yeah,
it's very hard not to get pulled into that world. And then there are all the other days. And then there are the days when you
by the time you're done with your dad, is his shoulders shrugged.
But that's what it is. And then there are other times you're like, well, I got to deal with this guy. I know he's a knucklehead.
This Sliwa.
I got to deal with Sliwa. I know that he's going to make me want to bang my head against the desk today. So that's what it is. But no, it's the people that you're going to interact with on any given day. There are people that when I went to Oregon, right? The trip weather-wise was a bust, but the guys I was with, I really, really liked. Mm. So you're optimistic. And what could have been a disaster turned out to be pretty darn good because of the people that you're with.
Yeah, people you're with. That's a good one.
There's this like group of people on TikTok that call themselves like the lucky girls. They say this mantra to themselves like, I'm so lucky. All these good things happened to me. All this stuff. And then good things just start happening to them. So it's maybe just like that mindset or whatever.
Speak it into existence.
What was that book that was out there? There was a book about you basically think it and then it happens. The Secret.
Yes.
The Secret.
But I've been optimistic. Like the last time I went to Monterey, like I was optimistic that the trip would go really well. But I think sports wise, I know that wasn't your question. But last time I was like very optimistic was when the Rams were going into that playoffs in last year. I was like, I don't know why.
Even after they spit the bit against the Niners on the last day.
Yeah, but even though I was optimistic. I thought that they had a really good shot, and you know, obviously it turned out well.
You know, for me, it was actually the Clippers game. I thought that the Clippers were going to win that. At no point during the game did I think the Kings were going to win. But after the game, I just felt this sense of anything is possible.
Like the beam.
Freedom.
Like the beam.
By the way.
Well, it was only a double overtime, 176-175 game, and he had a whole suite to himself.
Light the beam went from kind of a goofy Sacramento King to a, you know what? It's a pretty good bit. It's a pretty darn
it's perfect
good
for them. It's legit.
And that they're
legit.
Good makes it so much. Like if they were a 20-win team.
Can't light the beam
and they
once
light
every
beam.
Five games.
But when you win more often than you lose and you light the beam, it turned into what was goofy has turned into a kind of a cool
thing.
It's
a monument
in
Sacramento.
What happens to that when, let's say the Kings, a couple years goes by, they're still lighting the beam, but now they're 14 games. They're 14 games below 500.
Save
you
on
can't still light the beam, right?
Save on electricity.
Does that just end at some point?
It's not going to happen. It's going to be 20 years of
20
dominance.
20 years. Yep.
Dominance, Lee.
20 years.
Used to it. All right, next up. Did you see the list of jobs most likely to be passed down from a parent to their child? So steelworker was at the top of the list, followed by legislator, baker, lawyer, and doctor. So what is something your mother or father often did that you find yourself doing as an adult? Sliwa.
It's interesting for what they actually did, their professions. They had their own business. So technically what I'm doing is not that, right? I'm working for a corporation. But I will say this. This isn't going to be the perfect comp. Work ethic, as in they worked. I mean, they were grinders, my mom and my dad, specifically my mom, too. My dad had health issues as he got older, so my mom was like, cool, sounds good, just put everything on my back. I always kind of saw that from them, so not their exact occupation, but how they took their occupation. They just freaking worked. It didn't matter hours. It didn't matter this. It was like, no, we have to do it. Roll up the sleeves. So I would take that rather than an actual occupation that they did.
So I didn't follow in either of my parents' footsteps exactly. My dad was in retail for 1 million years. He worked for Sears for a very, very long time. My mom was a social worker. So obviously that's not what I'm doing. My grandfather was in this business. Mm. My grandfather was the Channel 4 sportscaster for a very long time. Was on CBS radio for a very long time and worked in news and media his entire working life. So maybe it
did that drive you or no?
I grew up in a house that was inundated with sports.
Okay.
Like there was never, you go to my grandparents' house, you're in my house, the TV is on, and there's a game on. Yep. When you're in the car driving from point A to point B, USC football is on, Dodger game is on, Angel game's on, a Rams, a Raider game. That was the soundtrack of me growing up. So maybe that's what it is. I've never really kind of thought about it like that, but I was surrounded by media, sports in particular. The part though is what my folks did in my life that I emulate or try to is commitment to family and making sure that family moments run smoothly. Like, but you know, I go to the Rose Bowl, right? You know, that was my grandfather's gig for a long time. He was in charge of it. Mm-hmm. Then my dad did it for a long time. And I've had my hands on the wheel for 10 or 12 years. Like, and I keep looking at Bobby like, dude, let's go. You need to do this. I don't want to do this anymore. You need to take over to do it. But holidays, Christmases, Thanksgivings, birthdays, they always made that stuff.
He'll take over and he'll be the only group. No one brings shoes. That's going to be like of the tradition.
You know what the equivalent would be? He wouldn't bring the tickets. He wouldn't bring the grill. He wouldn't bring the food or the beer. He wouldn't do something that you could theoretically get through it with. It would be something that would ruin trip. Hey, Bob, you got the tickets?
Where's the grill?
In the garage.
That's a good point.
Or no, he'd bring the grill, he'd leave the propane. That's what it would be. It'd be the propane-less grill.
There are many lovely things that I've gotten from my parents, I think, in terms of like my personality. I didn't follow it in their like occupational footsteps either. Like, I think that my parents are really great about cultivating very close, tight-knit groups of friends and holding on to them very tightly and being a good host and being a good place for people to come to. And so I think that's lovely. There's something that I follow my parents' footsteps that maybe, I don't know, I maybe shouldn't have followed it into what it's about, is like holding on to cars and things longer than I should. So like my mom likes to hold on to some things maybe longer than she should. And so it's same for my dad. So it's hard for me to let go.
When we were driving around the small towns of Oregon going from Bandon to Eugene, it's like 2.5 hours. You drive through really teeny tiny towns, right? And just about every teeny tiny town you went through had these homes that are on the side of the road. And almost without exception, there weren't multiple broken down cars in front of these towns. And I'm like, Emily would do that. I was thinking about you the whole way with the parking lot of cars in front of these places.
Hey, we got choices.
You got spare parts if you need them.
All right, let's sneak one more in. Did you see that there's a list of the age that you peek at everything? So the best age to learn a new language is 7 years old. The best year for peak muscle strength is 25. The best age for finding a partner for marriage is 26. So, Travis, if you had to choose your age forever, what age would you choose and why?
Okay. I would choose somewhere around 40 because you're still physically in pretty good shape, right? You're probably still strong and healthy and all of those sorts of things.
Hopefully.
You've also have full adult maturity by that point. You're not super impulsive. You realize that things kind of come in waves. They come and go. You tend to not overreact as much as you do when you're 20 or even 25 or 30. Like you think everything's a big deal. Almost nothing's a big deal. Mm-hmm. You get that perspective, I think, kind of evens you out as a person. I would take 40, I think.
I'll go with 11. No, I'm just kidding. I just want no responsibility at all.
Peak sleeve.
It's not 11. A bad
which
answer,
is not
by the way.
Awful. No. It's not awful. I think I'm closer to 30. You just don't have, there's still a lot of lack of experience
sure.
left or lack of experience that you've gone through. 40 is what I'm sitting at right now. I'd take 35. I think that's the, and maybe as I get older, I'll get closer to that number that you're talking about. But I think that's a perfect age of you're still, you've experienced some stuff, but you also haven't gone through crazy stuff.
Right.
Go by maybe 35.
And hopefully by 35 or
still
40,
playing basketball
you've
at
got
35.
A career that's going, so you yeah, have yeah. a little yep. bit of financial security. Mm-hmm. You've got something, at least you know how to do at least one thing reasonably well.
Let's
hopefully.
Both go back to 11.
11's not bad. Baseball career.
I like 22. All my friends live nearly close by. I live in a walkable city. I don't have a career responsibility. I can just go to class and learn things. If I could stay at 22 forever, I would.
It's not bad. It's not bad. There's really not a lot. I don't think 80 is the answer or 6. Those are probably everything yeah. in between's probably not too bad. All right, Anthony Davis. I want to continue the conversation. We got a lot of tweets. We got a lot of phone calls yep. that I want to get to too. That give us your thoughts on what the heck is going on, and do you have an explanation as to what we saw yesterday and moving forward? That's coming up. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.